I think I have all the scripture in your notes. Hopefully you have notes. If not, turn to Mark chapter 16 in your Bible, or your cell phone, whichever one you have with you. That's where we're going to spend some time this morning. But if you have notes, I think I got it all in there for you. We're going to talk about the victory of Christ's resurrection. And by the way, let me just say this. As I sat on the front row, I sat down. A lot of times I sit down on purpose. Most of you know why that is. But I sat down, and it's amazing sometimes when I quit singing and I listen to you guys just worship the Lord behind me. I mean, it's really amazing. It gets me excited about getting up here and just preaching the Word, sharing the Word with you guys. And so thank you for the way you worship the Lord this morning. It's a real blessing to me. Mark chapter 16, we're going to read about the resurrection. We're going to talk this morning about the victory that Christ's resurrection gives you. The power that Christ's resurrection gives you in your own life. The Bible says, when the Sabbath, meaning Saturday, was passed, Mary Magdalene, Mary, the mother of James, and Salome bought spices so that they might go to the tomb and anoint Jesus. And very early, on the first day of the week, Sunday, when the sun had risen, they went to the tomb. And they were saying to one another, "Who will roll away the stone for us from the entrance of the tomb?" And looking up, they saw that the stone had been rolled back, and that it was very large. And entering the tomb, they saw a young man, an angel, sitting on the right side, dressed in a white robe, and they were alarmed. And he said to them, "Do not be alarmed. You seek Jesus of Nazareth, who was crucified. He is risen. He is not here. See the place where they laid him. But go and tell his disciples and Peter." I don't know about you, but I love that "and Peter." Because Peter had just denied Christ three times, remember? And the angel specifically says, "Go and tell his disciples and Peter that he is going before you to Galilee, and there you will see him just as he told you you would." And they went out and they fled from the tomb, for trembling and astonishment had seized them, and they said nothing to anyone, for they were afraid. Now when they rose early on the first day of the week, Easter Sunday, he appeared first to Mary Magdalene, from whom Jesus had cast out seven demons. She went and told those who had been with him as they mourned and wept. But when they heard that he was alive and had been seen by her, they would not believe it. After these things, Jesus appeared in another form to two of them as they were walking into the country. And they went back and told the rest that they did not believe them. And afterwards, he appeared to the 11 themselves as they were reclining at the table, and he rebuked them for their unbelief and the hardness of their hearts, because they had not believed those who saw him after he had risen. And he said to them, "Go into all the world and proclaim the gospel to the whole creation. Whoever believes," meaning whoever "believes in me, Jesus Christ, for the forgiveness of their sins and eternal life, and is baptized, will be saved. But whoever does not believe will be condemned." Now, all of us are here today. We've all come here today to celebrate the resurrection of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. And the resurrection is the most celebrated event that's ever taken place on planet Earth. And think about this with me for a minute. There have been many different religious leaders, many great teachers, many great philosophers throughout history, and many of them have actually created religions that have attracted some pretty tremendous followings. But all these leaders have one major distinction between themselves and Jesus Christ. Some of them have claimed to represent God, and some of them have even claimed to be God, but they've all died, been buried, and no longer exist. Only Jesus walked out of the tomb on the third day. Only Jesus Christ is alive and well today. And that's why the resurrection is so important to you and I. And that's why millions of people, literally all over this planet, are celebrating Easter today. And so one commentator said it very eloquently when he said, you can't have a living faith if all you have is a dead Savior. And that's what separates Jesus Christ from all the great teachers, all the great religious leaders, and all the philosophers of the world. They have all returned to the dust, but Jesus Christ returned to heaven. That's why you can't, don't miss this, you can't just call Jesus Christ a great teacher. You can't just call him a great religious leader. One author explains, Jesus never left us that option because he claimed to be God, and he proved it when he rose from the grave. In fact, his disciples were so convinced of this truth that they went on to spend the rest of their lives giving up the rest of their lives for their Lord Jesus Christ. And this is one of the main things that sets Christianity apart from all other major religions. All other major religions, the other four major religions, they all have holy books, they all have big buildings, and they all have great followings, but none of them can say their leader rose from the dead. But Jesus said, after 3 days, I will rise again. And sure enough, Christ walked out of the grave on the third day, on Easter Sunday. He rolled away a stone that weighed over a ton, walked right through a guard detail that had been assigned to guard the tomb and make sure he didn't get out or that someone didn't steal his body, and he proved once and for all that he was God. He proved once and for all that he was God, and again, that's why millions of people today, as you and I sit here, there are millions of people all over the world celebrating Easter. Now, the religious leaders of the day, as you know, were very fearful of Christ's resurrection. In fact, they were so fearful that they went to Pilate and said this, Matthew 27 in your notes. So we remember that when Jesus was still alive, that deceiver said, after 3 days I will rise again. Therefore, give orders for the grave to be made secure until the third day. Otherwise, his disciples may come and steal him away and say to the people he has risen from the dead, and then the last deception will be far worse than the first. And so Pilate said to him, you have a guard, go and make it as secure as you know how. And they went, and they made the grave secure, and along with the guard, they set a seal on the stone. Now again, the resurrection makes Christianity unique from every other religion. Think about it with me for a moment. Without the resurrection, the Christian life may be seen as a commendable way of life, but Jesus Christ would just be remembered as another great teacher. Jesus Christ would just be remembered as another great leader without the resurrection. Again, one author says, but Jesus never left us that option because he claimed to be God. So listen to this. Don't miss this. This is super important to understand. Because Jesus claimed to be God, then he was either the biggest liar and lunatic that ever walked on planet Earth, or he was who he claimed to be, God in the flesh. See, great leaders don't lie to their people, amen? Great leaders don't deceive their people. They don't mislead their people. And so either Jesus was the biggest liar and lunatic that ever lived, or he was God in the flesh. But he couldn't have been just another great teacher. He couldn't have been just another great leader. Listen to what Jesus said about himself in the book of John, John chapter 10 in your notes. And I, Jesus Christ, give them eternal life, meaning those of them who believe in me, I give them eternal life, and they will never perish. And then listen to what he says in verse 30. I and God the Father are one. He's claiming to be God. And listen to what Jesus said to Thomas in John 14. Thomas said, you know, Jesus, show us the Father. And Jesus says, if you had known me, Thomas, if you had known me, you would have known my Father also. And then Philip said to him, Lord, show us the Father, and that's enough for us. And Jesus said to him, he who has seen me has seen the Father. How can you say, show us the Father? Believe me that I am in the Father, and the Father is in me. And so Christ's resurrection from the dead proved that he was God in the flesh. Again, all other great religious leaders throughout history have died, and they've stayed dead. But Jesus said he was God, and he proved it when he rose from the dead. And it was after the resurrection that everything turned around for the disciples. The disciples were a bunch of, to use an old term, fraidy cats, right? They were a bunch of fraidy cats before the resurrection. When they realized that Jesus had risen from the grave, they were transformed. They were transformed into some of the most fearless men on the planet. In fact, Peter, who had denied Christ three times before, now would take a stand with the 11 disciples, raise his voice, and declare the gospel fearlessly on the day of Pentecost, Acts chapter 2. He would then proclaim to the crowd, this man, Jesus, was handed over to you. Listen to this very closely. This man, Jesus, was handed over to you by God's set purpose and foreknowledge. And you, with the help of wicked men, put him to death by nailing him to the cross. But God raised him from the dead, freeing him from the agony of death, because it was impossible for death to keep its hold on him. And then Peter, filled with the Holy Spirit in Acts chapter 4, would proclaim that by the name of Jesus Christ, there is salvation. But he would also say this, verse 12. By the name of Jesus Christ, there is salvation, listen to this, in no one else. Well, Chris, isn't that being a little exclusive? And we don't do that in the United States. We've got to be all inclusive. Friend, if you understand the Bible's all inclusive. The Bible clearly says that Jesus died for all. He died for the world. But the Bible also says that there is salvation in no one else. Nobody else has died for you. Nobody else has rose from the dead for you. Nobody else has taken all of your sins upon themselves on a cross. The most brutal death you could possibly die. Nobody else has done that for you. And the Bible clearly teaches, listen to me, it clearly teaches that salvation is found in no one else. There is no other name under heaven, the Bible says, given among men by which we must be saved. And then later, all the apostles would be beaten for preaching the gospel. James would lose his life. Peter would be thrown in jail and under the death sentence. And you remember Saul. You remember what happened to Saul. No one was more intent on destroying the Christian faith than Saul. And yet when he met the resurrected Christ on the road to Damascus, he was transformed forever. His name was changed to Paul, and he was so convinced of the truth of Jesus Christ that he would spend the rest of his life in and out of prison, proclaiming the gospel of Jesus Christ. But here's what I want you to see today. This is what I really want you to see on this Easter Sunday, is how the resurrection can transform your life. Number one in your notes, the resurrection guarantees your salvation. The Bible says, for all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. If you're taking notes, circle the word all. Who does that include? It includes all of us. Amen? Some of you have had your coffee this morning. I heard you. It includes all of us. We all, listen to me, we all fall short of God's glorious standard. None of us are right. We live in a world right now where we say, well, you know what? Everybody's right. Everybody's truth is truth. And you know what? Anybody with a brain that thinks very long about that knows that if everybody's truth is true, then what that logically leads to is everybody's wrong. Amen? And that's what the Bible says. We're all wrong. We've all sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. And the Bible says, for the wages of sin is death, but the free gift of God is free gift from God. You can't earn it. You can't deserve it. You can't buy it. It's a free gift. And the free gift from God is eternal life when you put your faith in Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior. In other words, because God is a holy God, what holy means to be separated from. God is completely separated from sin. Because God is a holy God and he cannot permit sin in his presence, there's hostility between God and man. And so there's a price that had to be paid for sin so that you and I could be forgiven and have eternal life. And Jesus Christ paid that price with his blood on the cross. The Bible says in Romans 3, there in your notes, being justified as a gift by his grace, literally, God did for you and I what we could never do for ourselves. Being justified as a gift by his grace through the redemption being the payoff for sin, which is in Christ Jesus, who God displayed publicly on the cross as a propitiation. That word means to overcome this hostility between God and man through Christ's blood, through faith in him. And Paul said in Romans 4:25 that Jesus was delivered to the cross for our sins, and he was raised because of our justification. So when Jesus cried out on the cross in John chapter 19, when he cried out, "It is finished," he was declaring that the price had been paid. The price for your sin and the price for my sin had been paid in full for all who would believe in him as their Lord and Savior. Resurrection guarantees your salvation, but the resurrection also ensures your victory over death. One of the first things Peter said about Jesus in his sermon in Acts was this in Acts 2:24, that God raised him up again, putting an end to the agony of death, since it was impossible for him to be held in its power. In other words, death was unable to conquer Christ because he was God. But death was also unable to conquer Christ because he had broken, the Bible says, the power of sin. See, sin is the power that keeps a person from eternal life and holds them in death. But when sin has lost its hold on a person, because that person, listen to this closely, when sin has lost its hold on a person because that person is in Christ, then that person now has victory over sin through the Lord Jesus Christ. The Bible says in 2 Corinthians 5, therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation, spiritually speaking. By the way, baptism illustrates this. If anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation, spiritually speaking. The old things have passed away when you go into the water. That's what that represents. That you're saying, I'm dying to my old way of life. I'm dying to living for myself. It's no longer about Christ. Now I'm a new creation in Christ Jesus. And it's about the Lord Jesus Christ living his life through me. When I go under the water, there's nothing magic about it, but the water symbolizes the blood of Christ washing my sins away, washing me clean. And the Bible says God was in Christ. God was in Christ reconciling the world to himself, not counting their sins against them. In fact, the Bible says in Matthew 1:23, Jesus shall be called Emmanuel, which means God with us. Bottom line, when Jesus rose from the dead, he broke sin's power over anyone who is in Christ through their faith in him. And the resurrection shows that our sins have been completely paid for and that death no longer has any power over those of us who are in Christ Jesus. The Bible says, O death, where is your victory? O death, where is your sting? The sting of death is sin, and the power of sin is the law. But thanks be to God who gives us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Jesus Christ broke the power of sin, and he overturned the power of death through his resurrection. And number three, the resurrection frees you from the power of sin in your own life. And this is the other side of the coin that we just discussed. The resurrection gives us victory over sin's power to hold us in the grave. But it also gives us victory from sin's control in our daily lives. The Bible says in Romans 6, what shall we say then? Are we to continue in sin so that grace may increase? Paul said, may it never be. How shall we who died to sin continue to live in it? Or do you not know that all of us who have been baptized into Christ Jesus have been baptized into his death? Therefore, we have been buried with him through baptism into death, so that as Christ was raised from the dead through the glory of the Father, we too might walk in newness of life. Here again, Romans chapter 6, it's a picture of baptism. For if we have become united with him in the likeness of his death, certainly we shall also be united with him in the likeness of his resurrection, knowing this, that our old self was crucified with him in order that our body of sin might be done away with, and we should no longer be slaves to sin. Listen, I want to tell you something very important this morning. Once you learn to truly identify with your new life in Christ, not just acknowledge it anymore, not just believe it in your head, but once you start believing it in your heart and you start owning your new life in Christ, by the way, which is why discipleship is so important, rather than hanging on to your old life of sin, you'll begin to have victory in your life in places you never dreamed possible. I'll never forget this. I was at Adult Teen Challenge, checking a man in at Adult Teen Challenge who was a drug addict. And I'll never forget this. The man that was interviewing him had been a drug addict at one point in his life as well. And this Adult Teen Challenge graduate that was interviewing the young man that was about to go into Adult Teen Challenge said this: you're never going to quit drugs on your own. You need to know and you need to understand right now, you're never going to quit drugs on your own. You need more and more of Jesus Christ in your heart on a daily basis. And Jesus said it this way: I am the vine, you are the branch. If a man abides in me, meaning if a man stays intimately connected to me, he will bear much fruit. Love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, gentleness, faithfulness, self-control. Can any of y'all use any of that in your life? Called the fruit of the Spirit. Galatians chapter 5, Jesus said, I'm the vine. I'm the vine. And you're the branch. Apart from me, you can do nothing, right? What happens to a branch when it gets separated from the vine? It dies, right? I'm the vine and you're the branch. If you abide in me, and the word, the NIV uses the word remain, but it's a lot deeper meaning than just remaining. It means to remain intimately connected. You abide in me, my word abides in you, you will bear much fruit. But apart from me, you can do nothing. When you connect yourself back to God through faith in Jesus Christ, and then listen, when abiding in Christ becomes a daily reality in your life, you will begin to experience the resurrection power of Jesus Christ in your life. And you will begin to have victory over sins that have held you down all of your life, or at least for a long, long time. But without Jesus Christ on a daily basis, Jesus clearly tells you, you can do nothing. So the resurrection guarantees your salvation. Resurrection ensures your victory over death, and it frees you from the power of sin. And you may be here this morning, and you may be thinking, wow, you know what, Chris, that's what I need in my life. I want that kind of victory over sin. I want that kind of assurance over salvation. Look at one more verse with me this morning. Mark chapter 1, 14 through 15. Jesus, the Bible says, came into Galilee preaching the gospel, meaning the good news of God's redemption through his Son, Jesus Christ. That's what the gospel is. And saying, the time is fulfilled and the kingdom of God is at hand. Jesus is saying, here I am. Repent and believe in the gospel. What is he telling them? What exactly is Jesus saying? What is the gospel? Again, the gospel is the good news of God's redemption of mankind through the death and resurrection of his son, Jesus Christ. The gospel is the truth about who Christ is and what Christ did. So when you believe the gospel, listen to this. When you believe the gospel, you believe in the person and you believe in the work of Jesus Christ. When you believe in the person of Jesus Christ, then you confess with your mouth that Jesus is Lord, meaning that you believe he is God, that you believe what he says, that you're a sinner. You confess that you're wrong. You confess that you're a sinner. And you confess that you can never make yourself right, and you repent of your sin. The word repent means you turn away from your sin and you turn back to God in obedience to him and his word. And you surrender, listen to this, you surrender control of your life to him. You ask him to take over as the Lord of your life. Or as Carrie Underwood puts it, you ask Jesus to take the wheel. You get out of the driver's seat. You quit playing God. You get in the passenger seat. You let Jesus Christ take the wheel of your life. And you let him be the Lord of your life. That's what it means to believe in the person of Jesus Christ. To believe in the work of Jesus Christ means that you believe in your heart. You don't just acknowledge it in your head, but you believe it in your heart. Well, Chris, how do I know I believe something in my heart? It drives and directs your life. We call it a conviction. And when you have a conviction in your life, you don't care what I think. You don't care what anybody else thinks. When you have a conviction about something in your heart, it drives and directs the rest of your life. It directs everything else you do in life. And so believing in your heart, the work of Jesus Christ means believing in the death and resurrection of Christ. It means that you believe that he came to earth, that he lived a sinless life, that he died for your sins on the cross, that he was resurrected from the grave, defeating sin and death, once and for all, the Bible says, for those who put their faith in him for salvation. Why did God do all this? Love. Why did God do all this? Why did God come down here to earth? The word grace actually means to stoop down. Why did God stoop down in the person of Jesus Christ and come down here to this planet and die on a cross? Love, the Bible says. For God so loved the world that he gave his one and only Son, that whoever believes in him shall not perish but have eternal life. And this is what I want you to hear. God loved you too much to spend eternity without you. God loved you so much that he didn't want to enjoy heaven without you. Even though you and I have sinned against him and rebelled against him, he still stooped down the planet earth to die for us. In closing, Romans 10, 9 through 10 says this. If you confess with your mouth Jesus as Lord, and you believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you will be saved. For with the heart a person believes, resulting in righteousness, and with the mouth he confesses, resulting in salvation. For the scripture says, whoever believes in him will not be disappointed. Will you join me in prayer this morning?